This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 128. Tom, you're still in the Walking Dead hospital.
Yep, I'm still locked down. I went out for a few hours the other day in a full bodysuit, but other than that, I am here ready to fight the undead.
Fantastic. I'm glad you are. We've also got a couple of guests as well. We've got Jeremy and Jason from Figment of My Reality podcast. How are you guys going?
Doing great.
Pretty good.
Happy to be on.
We kind of accidentally set up this time spot on because I realized when we were sort of organizing it, in my head, you guys were on the east side. And then for time zone differences, obviously, we have to try and find something that's somewhere in the middle and happy for it. And then I was like, oh, I've set this up for Eastern time. Are you guys happy with that? And I think it was you, Jeremy. You were like, yeah, we're on Eastern time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We share the email, so it might have been me, might have been Jason.
Because one of the, I think the email itself says Jeremy.
Then it was me.
But then sometimes it says, thanks, Jason. So I'm like, oh, that's really nice. We're in it together.
Teamwork makes that dream work.
Absolutely. So give us a bit of a rundown, a synopsis about what your podcast is about.
Yeah, so we dig in every week into crazy, funny, weird stories that's happened in the present or the past, and just try to bring some new knowledge to our listeners and give them a laugh.
And that's all we're really asking for around these times, just a bit of a laugh.
Yeah,
for sure.
Although you somehow managed to find comedy in the fact that it was someone's job or people's job to cut people open. Or cut things off people in like record speed time. I was like, this is a topic that I'm really interested in, but I'm somehow laughing about it as well.
Yeah, the butcher of the east side, I think.
Yeah, cutting people's legs off in 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's fun to sort of try and find the humor or put yourself into those folks' mindset. Because at least in that example, you know, it was, for the most part, it was considered a huge benefit to have quicker operations because the medical care at that point was just not ideal. So, you know, the faster operation, the less chance of it being, infected or anything like that. And then he started talking about some, you know, the 300% issue that Jason talks about in the most recent episode, which just doesn't fly well.
Yeah, one person goes in for a surgery, three people die.
Let's not get hung up on the odds. It's fine. It's fine. Like, who does the research? Is it a bit of both?
Each week we both do research independently, come together. We don't brief each other on our stories before we start, and we just kind of go for it.
Tom, that sounds just like us. We literally do not speak about whatever we've watched, whatever sort of news we find, because we just want it to be like a proper chat. And
exactly.
And you want nothing to do with me off air.
She can only put up with an hour a week.
She hid in the rafters once.
Yeah, I made some new rat friends. It was really nice. It was a bonding experience. I should send them a text sometime.
And now, a word from our sponsor. The best thing about streaming platforms is the variety we're given. We can watch what we want, when we want, for as long as we want. We can watch Nailed It for the 28th time in a row if that's what we feel is needed. Your kids can put Frozen on for the 47,256th time in a row if their hearts truly desire it. With all this choice comes a problem no one ever foresaw. 9 times out of 10, we sit there on the lounge scrolling through the options for half an hour before we settle on some murder mystery doco and fall asleep within the first 7 minutes. So, what if we made a series that's just that? Someone scrolling through all the different genres saying, no. Seen it. No. It's got Russell Brand in it. I just can't right now. Yes! Yes, this one! Oh, you've already seen it. I thought we were going to wait and watch it together. Not impressed, Nathan. auto-scroll. It's right there on the main screen up the top right. There's 24 episodes and all end in either a fight or someone falling asleep. Stream it now and save yourself all the remote control button pressing.
We've got some news stories coming up. We've all got some watching suggestions, which I'm really excited about. And we're going to do Would You Rather at the end of the episode. So get ready to decide. Tom, do you want to crack into the news, I should say, first?
Sure. So there was tons of Star Wars news, and I'll get to that in a minute, because way more exciting for me was that apparently Ralph Fiennes, however you want to pronounce it.
It looks like
called, his name is Ralph.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was Ralph Fiennes.
His name's Ralph, but it's written as Ralph.
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes, he's going to be playing Miss Trunchbull in the Matilda adaptation.
Oh, my gosh. Who's Brucey?
Traditionally, on the like in the Tim Minchin written musical that's been going for the last few years, the role of Miss Trunchbull has been portrayed by a man.
Yeah.
So they're leaning into that, and I don't think you get much more threatening than Voldemort.
That's awesome. I love it. I'm
really into this. Matilda, we watch it regularly in the house. I hope they find a way to get Danny DeVito back in there, because he's so good in that as peak 90s DeVito. Yeah, I'm and they're saying what's her name? Jodie Comer for Miss Honey.
She's from Killing Eve?
Yes.
Yeah.
The name sounded familiar, but I couldn't put a face to it.
Oh, I hope she does her real accent. I think it's from Liverpool. Is it Liverpudlian? It's an accent. If you have not heard her speak before, everything it's like sing-songy.
I thought that was mostly Welsh, was the sing-song.
Yeah, so, that's true. Welsh do love a good in the
it's very up and down. So my biggest issue in sort of trying to, you know, put a thumbtack in the map of you naming accents, to me it's like UK or not. I can't this is London, this is Liverpool. I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not great at it either. I think, Tom, you're probably a little bit better.
My missus is from the south of England. Her parents are from Scotland. I have grown up around a lot of different odd English accents. Not like in Australia, the difference between our accent is just how much more our nose is pinched. Like you just get more and more nasal. But over in the UK, you can drive for 20 minutes and all of a sudden it goes from talking like this to like, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
For sure.
Stylish.
Never in my life, I don't think, unless I spent an exorbitant amount of time over there, would I be able to be like, oh, the Southerners, these guys have this type of accent.
I can pick up people from Nottingham.
Okay.
Because I listen to a hell of a lot of podcasts about Warhammer and Games Workshop and little miniatures, and they all come from Nottingham. That accent is locked in my brain.
Very cool.
But everyone else is just like, oh, are you from the South or...
Well, it never occurred to me that there would be so many different Irish accents until, because I play field hockey and there's four different people from Ireland in the club and they all had slightly different accents. I was like, oh, there's no quintessential Irish accent. I don't know why I assumed.
Everyone's the bad guy for assuming. You should know better.
What's the best thing for an Irishman to say when you hand him a pencil? To be sure.
That joke was so funny. Last time I heard it, I nearly fell off my dinosaur. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
You said you also have some Star Wars news. I'm pretty sure the biggest one is that everyone's favourite New Zealander will be directing a Star Wars movie soon.
I got very excited because Peyton Reed is going to be directing an episode of Mandalorian Season 2. Peyton Reed is the guy who did... Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. He directed both of those, so he's another Marvel alumni. But more importantly, he directed Bring It On.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I want to see.
That's a callback.
I want to see some stormtroopers,
or at least stomp in the yard.
That's what I mean. There needs to be a bit of a shot of that sort of stuff. Look, he's killer with the comedy. That's his strong suit. He does really well at blending action comedy. So I can see that he's going to have a lot of fun with this. And I think I've gone back and rewatched Mandalorian. And there's some humor in the first two episodes, little bits of it, but it's not really until episode 3 where they start really weaving in some of the jokey stuff. And then, of course, you get to the end and that last episode that Taika directs. there's out and out comedy in that. And people respond to that so well that I think they've tried to amp up that sort of content for season two.
You know what I find interesting about Star Wars? I mean, I like Star Wars. Do you guys like Star Wars? Are you fans?
Yeah. Yeah. I recently watched through it all actually.
Oh, did you?
3 months ago. Yeah. For the first time.
So which order did you go?
One through. Started at one. Or no, when they came out. The order they came out in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay, good.
Yep.
Yeah. So Ridge, Garbage Trilogy, and then the newest ones.
Yeah. I used to hate the original, the prequel trilogy, but I've started to come around to bits and pieces of it.
I like the second one. Clone Wars was the best one for me, just because the fight scene between Yoda and Dooku was just unreal. I love the choreography of that. It was amazing.
Jar Jar hurts my eardrums.
I don't think you're alone with that. I just find it amazing that Star Wars is this franchise that, even though people, you know, like, don't like the prequels or hated the last movie, that Rise of Skywalker or what was it, Last Jedi? Yeah, Last Jedi. Yet we all still are down with celebrating May the 4th, and any kind of Star Wars news, we're all like, ooh, exciting. We're so forgiving about that franchise. It's incredible.
Hey, people still keep going to church. You know, you find your story. You find your story that impacts you and directs your life as a child, and you keep on with that. And, you know, there's plenty of stuff that the church throws out that's not great, but everyone keeps going and throwing in their 10% each week for tithing. That's no different to when it's not George anymore, but when they pump out a new Star Wars, I go and throw my money on that throne.
Yep. Yep.
Tom, in this context, what do you equate in the church to be the extended universe?
Well, you've got your core book.
Sure.
So yep. I reckon your Old Testament, that's your original trilogy.
That's your original trilogy.
Yeah. Your new trilogy, I don't want to say it's the prequel trilogy, because that's not fair to
either. Bit harsh. It's a bit harsh to the apostles, isn't it?
It is. I don't know. I'd kind of be more tempted to put all the gaming stuff in kind of as your new, because that's where everyone, you know, got into your Rogue Squadron or Battlefront or whatever game it was. There was that thing that came along. That was the second generation. So if we're equating Bible stuff, the expanded universe, I'm going to blame that's your Mormonism or your offshoots, which is still considered canon, but is not quite as canon. It involves odd weaved bows in your hair to keep your hair straight.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Well, Padawans have to have that thing. So, you know, we could keep going. The links are there. Just look into it, man. Deep state.
It's just, Jeremy, you managed to completely and utterly throw faith into the fact that Tom was going to have an answer, and he did. And I'm just impressed with both of you in that respect. That was
It's truly well done.
That was amazing. Any other Star Warsy stuff?
Well, you did mention about Taika directing a Star Wars. That's pretty cool.
I'm happy with that. I'm really excited. We've got to remember. I got to keep looking at the stuff that this guy's done. I mean, he's won an Oscar for writing a screenplay for Jojo Rabbit. What We Do in the Shadows, amazing.
Don't think it will happen.
Why? Why?
Because about every 4 months they announce that Taika's going to direct the biggest thing ever. So like a year and a half ago, they announced he was directing Akira. I want that so bad. That's never going to happen. He says yes to too much stuff. And like he's going to be busy for the next 18 months probably on Thor 4. And he's
should truly be his priority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not fuck about, man. I don't. It's a weird thing where I would love to see him do a Star Wars movie, but it's like really dependent on what Star Wars property they decide to do. My dream would be, I don't know if you guys are aware, but they haven't done much with them in years, but for ages in the comics of Star Wars, there were two characters, Tag and Bink, who were these two rebel soldiers in the background who they're basically Rosencrantz and Guildenstern for Star Wars, but they're these two bumbling idiots that stumble through the background of all the major events.
Buddy cop movie, basically.
Yes, but they are idiots, and fuck things up regularly and make things worse. And, you know, they retcon part of the Star Wars movies, so if something bad happens, there's a good chance Tag and Bink accidentally pressed a button.
So it's the other guys, but in the Star Wars universe.
Exactly. That is a fantastic analogy. So I would love to see him take a run at that. I think that's his sensibility. Or, as I say all the time, just give him the scum and villainy movie. Have him doing bounty hunter stuff. That's, I want him dirty, dark, that sort of Star Wars stuff. I had enough Jedi, had enough lightsabers.
I still think we will get a movie, a Star Wars movie from him, because he's already there. Like, he's already done Mandalorian stuff. He's directed, like you said, the season finale. I think we'll get that movie. I'm hanging on to that.
I think it's going to depend on him getting his one for you, one for me. That was kind of his deal with Jojo Rabbit of, I make Thor and then I get to make this movie that no one will fund.
That makes sense.
Fair.
Everyone's got to make a living.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, did you guys see the amazing story news fresh out of the galaxy? Is that Elon Musk and Tom Cruise are teaming up? They're going to make a movie in outer space.
Can you imagine?
I can, just actually.
Just for a moment. Close your eyes.
Yes.
All of us. Let's close our eyes.
Right.
And picture. Can you imagine a worse scenario than being stuck in a tube you can't escape from with Elon Musk and Tom Cruise?
So, I'm breaking a window. There's a simple answer to this: is I'm breaking a window.
So you're saying that they're going to struggle to find a cameraman? Is that what you're saying?
Look, I had long maintained that the worst person to be stuck in a lift with would be Robin Williams, but like he'd be amazing for the first 20 minutes.
But you would get exhausted. Yeah.
You think he's just going to do voices nonstop? Is that what you're? What do you posit? Okay.
Yeah, so 20 minutes stuck in a lift with Robin, great. 4 hours, you're like, Robin, mate, simmer down. I haven't paid for a ticket for this shit. Tom Cruise and Elon Musk, it's the stench of wanker in that, overwhelming.
Do you reckon we just give them some GoPros, attach them to their heads, like the foreheads, and just let them film themselves?
No, people are hungry for money. They're going to get a crew is the long and short of it. But the issue is I don't think it's going to be a good movie.
I like the idea of just giving them the GoPros and just send them up there by themselves for like 6 months and we'll just watch what happens. Watch them tear each other apart. Yeah.
It's like a Space Hunger Games.
Yes.
I want to see Tom Cruise jump on a couch in space.
It's going to be difficult, but he should eventually get back to it once he jumps off it.
Maybe they'll go and try and find that car that Elon shot out.
No, it made it escape long ago.
I was saying earlier, it's like he has too much money, too many ideas for his own good. Like, what is he? Why? I bet space looks better on a green screen than it does in space. Like, what's the point?
You have to give him credit. That man is out of everyone on Earth has found the exact right amount of weed he needs to smoke.
Hey, man, it's all medicinal. It's okay.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Apparently, it's not going to be anything to do with Mission Impossible. So it's going to be a brand new franchise. Of course it is, because these two are going to make a new IP for themselves and then find any excuse to go up again.
What credentials does Elon Musk have to make a movie? I want to hire Bill Gates to pave my driveway. Elon Musk doesn't deserve to make a movie.
That's a pretty sound analogy.
I think I would trust Bill Gates more to pave my driveway than I would have Elon Musk. Bill Gates is a genius and an innovator in the sense that he does humanitarian things nonstop for developing countries. He could learn how to pave a driveway if he really cared about the people.
Elon Musk wants to send you to space.
For the right dollar amount, I might. Yeah. I just might.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So because we're on a Zoom chat, you guys saw Tom's hair and mustache situation there. And obviously he's been inspired by Joe Exotic. Now, not only did we know that we're getting a show about him, but there's now another show about him. And who's going to play? I can see you nodding, Jeremy. Who will be playing Joe Exotic?
I saw a post about it today. It wasn't Nicolas Cage.
It is Nicolas Cage.
That's troubling. It's so troubling.
It's very troubling, yet so incredibly perfect that now I want to watch that one. Also, why are there two scripted shows about the Tiger King? Why?
Because it blew up on Netflix and people are just going to get it while the money's hot.
And because all the people that were in the Netflix show individually sold the rights to different crews. So really? a documentary could be made starring all of them, but narrative stuff can be told from different perspectives. Wow. So the one with Nicolas Cage is focusing on Joe and following Joe. The one that's focusing on Carol Baskin is Kate McKinnon, all this sort of stuff. I think Nicolas Cage is a great choice.
Is it him or Keanu Reeves, right? One of the two.
It's not who I would have chosen at all, because I think there's an opportunity to give someone younger a chance to go bananas. Whereas Nicolas Cage, you're like, okay, that makes sense. Whereas, I mean, my dream is still Sam Rockwell, just because he's slightly more playful than Nicolas Cage. But I did watch Kick-Ass again a few weeks ago, and I was reminded of how much fun Nicolas Cage can be.
I can't picture him with the facial hair and the mullet.
Yeah, me too.
Can he grow the facial hair?
Can he grow the mullet?
Yeah, think about raising a question. Con Air. He had a great mullet in Con Air. And he has
it's a fantastic movie.
It is. And then
God, I love Con Air.
I think the lieutenant of Port Orleans or whatever that's called. I think he's got a bad lieutenant or whatever it is. He's got a big handlebar in that. And that's a good, if you want to get a really good sampling of what he might be like in this, check out that movie. It's Werner Herzog directed, who is the one of the bad guys in Mandalorian.
Right.
2008, I want to say, and he's a, or maybe 2010, but he's a lieutenant in New Orleans after the levees break or something like that. And the city gets flooded. He's trying to save some guys from the jail and hurts his back. Cuts to 6 months later and he's doped to the gills on painkillers and starts going really rogue as a cop. And like gets into rape and drugs and standing up and
just gets into it
just casually. He didn't intend to, but he's got to keep paying for these painkillers.
I've never heard
this before. And the unhinged
level
he goes to in that could work really well. I also wouldn't put it past him for Nicolas Cage to go, okay, I'm not going to act in anything for 6 months. I'm going to go and do meth for a while and get really into meth.
Yeah.
And then I'll be ready.
Buy tigers.
I'm sure he's owned a tiger at some point.
At one point,
he owned the largest privately owned T-Rex skeleton, specifically the skull. He owned the most pristine copy of Action Comics number one, Superman's first appearance. Dude's got mad skills. So he's had a tiger at some point, for sure.
How long that tiger lived is yet to be seen.
I want to know who's going to play his first husband. Who's going to knock out 17 teeth to play him?
Yes. Danny DeVito.
Oh, look, everyone's saying, and it's not like when you see him with the teeth and done up and looking better and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
He looks pretty good looking. He scrubs up all right. What's his name? Chris Pine. What's the one? He was in 21 Jump Street with Jonah Hill.
Channing Tatum.
That's who I'm thinking. Tatum.
That's who he said he wanted to play him.
Yeah.
Knock out a few teeth or black him up, whatever. CGI.
See that.
Is that the term anymore? Is that offensive to say you should just black up your teeth? It's probably not right, is it?
I don't think so.
I think it's still acceptable. If you specifically say black up the teeth, I think you're all right.
Parentheses is one phrase.
I think we're going to be all right with that one.
I've got three other quick news stories. That's how much, like, I haven't had much news in a week, but these ones. So there's a lot of whispers that the New Mutants, which we've been expecting since 2018, I first saw footage at an event in 2016. They may just bite the bullet and put out video on demand now, which is cool. They pushed it back so many times. It was meant to come out for the fourth time last week. And still isn't happening. They put out some cool posters and photos and stuff today, worth a bit of a look. It looks like the demon bear is in there. To anyone that's read the comics, it's pretty exciting. To anyone not, strap in. You're in for some really weird head-messing visuals. There's a Bill and Ted board game coming.
No way.
Excellent.
Love
no
it.
Way.
Yep. apparently you play as Bill and Ted. You skip through different time periods and you have to rescue people from their periods, get them to an assignment, and then get them back before it's noticed they're gone.
That sounds amazing. How do those mechanics work? But it sounds awesome.
Sounds like a complicated board game.
Yeah. The mechanics of it will work, but I'm there for it.
Is it like a two-player? Are you Bill and Ted, or can you be other people, I wonder?
I don't know any further details just yet. I saw it was going for Kickstarter, but yeah, there's been a bit of a surge in classic movie-related board games lately.
Yeah,
well, not even classic, but you know, I've been loving the Hellboy game and good properties getting snatched up. The last bit of news I've got is last week we talked about Extraction, the Chris Hemsworth Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys watched that one?
Have not yet. I was on my
it's on my it's on my list. I just added it 2 days ago.
It ain't bad. I quite enjoyed it. It's not one for the ladies. Some ladies will enjoy it, but my missus did not enjoy it at all. It is very
Carol Baskin.
She wouldn't appreciate that. it has been Netflix's biggest premiere yet. Netflix obviously don't share viewing figures completely, but they've been able to garner that at least 90 million people watched it in the premiere weekend, which is huge. That would translate to a massive opening at the cinema. So it's another big win for Netflix and moving towards being taken a bit more seriously. And thankfully, it means they stopped producing crap like Bright. I don't know.
Made me sad.
I was so amped for that movie. There was so much good potential and it was based on a good property and everything like that. And just it didn't quite work. And they were too focused on it being part of a franchise. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy with Extraction that they just set out to tell a movie. There is potential with it. There could be a sequel somehow. I can't go into too much detail and stuff for people who haven't seen it. No spoilers and things, but it's not like other movies, like 80% of movies that are made at the moment that have some throwaway line 3 minutes from the end of, oh, well, we'll pick that up next time. There's none of that in this. It's just, there are parts of it that felt like early Arnie. Hmm. Like,
wow. That's a huge statement.
Like Commando. Not quite with the humor. Like there's no, please don't disturb my friend, he's dead tired. It's not that sort of stuff, but just the insane amounts of killing and one guy who's no jokes, real serious, just get on with the business. Yeah, it felt very early Arnie. So good work, Netflix. Good work, Extraction.
It looked like they were trying to get more of their films into movie theaters before, of course, everything had to be closed down. I wonder if we hadn't have gotten lockdown, if that movie would have ended up in a couple of movie theaters so that people could have gotten, you know, the big screen experience. Because it sounds like the kind of movie that a lot of people would like to watch in that environment.
Yeah, I think Chris Hemsworth in 3D.
Yeah, people would watch.
Oh, I will say now, because my a good friend of the show from the UK, Viv, is a massive Chris Hemsworth fan. She, for some reason, thinks that I must know him because we live in Australia.
Okay.
Viv, update for you. There is no shirtless Hemsworth.
Oh, okay. So maybe that is why it's not one for the ladies.
Maybe that's what was lacking.
Could be it.
It's missing.
Or me.
he could have taken his shirt off and stitched up a stab wound.
Maybe like a nice deep V.
So many lost opportunities there. Mm-hmm. So is that the end of news? Have we gone through every nook and cranny of the internet?
I've spied all the spies I can.
We should get into some watching suggestions. If you have a watching suggestion, you can always send it into thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com, or you can come onto the podcast and we demand you send us some watching suggestions. So I don't know. Let's go with Jason first. Jason, what have you been watching during your lockdown?
So movie-wise, one that I recently watched was a Netflix movie, The Girl with All the Gifts.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I would suggest it. It's,
oh, really?
It's okay. It kept my attention the whole time. It's a movie about, it's kind of like a zombie movie, but a little spinoff with zombies developing over generations and becoming more intelligent and stuff. And it's really interesting, but the ending, I didn't like at all.
It, oh, that's a
shame.
It didn't
make much sense to me. And a lot of Netflix movies don't keep my attention the whole time, but this one did, and it was kind of disappointing to watch the last 20 minutes.
Damn. So you didn't even pick up your phone the whole time, and then you were delivered a crap ending.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is disappointing. I don't know. I still am into the zombie genre, and I feel like I was interested and now not so much.
You've ruined it.
it's worth watching if you can't find anything else to watch.
Yeah. Okay. That's a pretty good review scale.
Endorsement.
Yeah. There's different levels instead of stars or thumbs up. It's did you look at your phone?
If you have something else to do, don't watch.
Flicking through Netflix for 10 minutes, you can go back to it.
Okay. Look, fantastic.
We laugh, but I don't know about everyone else, but right now my attention span is shot. And I used to have no problem sitting down and watching an entire movie back to back without looking at something else. At the moment, 15 minutes in, I'm like, it's just everything. It's frustrating.
I've actually found myself in almost the complete opposite, headspace, at least for visual media.
Yeah.
Because I was never one to binge anything. Like I almost didn't watch much TV at all. I would do movies and stuff like that, but I couldn't like commit the time regularly to either binge or to have a set time like every week to be like, okay, this is the time. But recently me and my now wife have just been going through Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And nice. That is so freaking good, dude. I love it. Coulson is obviously flawless as a person. And the variety of settings that they incorporate on that show is absolutely amazing. The character development, the plot twists, the turns, and just the depth of everyone is just so amazing. And we are about halfway through 5. And then I know we're going to have to hit the hard brakes because of 6. Mm. But been so good.
But what do you mean hit the hard brakes? It comes back in like 2.5 weeks.
It's true, but at this rate, we will be having
a third break. Okay. So I haven't had new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since, I think they wrapped up September last year, something like that. And they finished filming this season then already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been waiting for the mid-show replacement. Oh, I'm so happy for it to come back. They're back.
I'm very excited.
I can't even say anything.
You better not. I'll write into the show later once I'm caught up.
If you enjoyed the way Endgame goes back and addresses a lot of plot holes through the Marvel Universe, that they may be looking to do the same thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this year of how can they address stuff that they've left off in the background. So that's maybe we cool. might see that. Remember the guy that was Gravitron? Blizzard, the kid that ended up starring in 13 Reasons Why and this sort of stuff. There's a good chance that some of that stuff may come back and be addressed and long-running threads paid off.
I would have to binge it like you are in order for me to pick up all of those things if they are going to pay, you know, homage to stuff that happened ages ago, because I forget exorbitant amount of television shows and movies. I was watching a movie. Oh, what was it called? I don't even know if I spoke about this one. It was just on Netflix. It was an old movie, like 10 years old. It had Gerard Butler and Jennifer Aniston in it. And
is that Bounty Hunter?
Bounty Hunter. I got halfway through that movie and I went, oh, I've seen this. The beginning, I have absolutely no recollection of watching it. And then I went, there's something about a bed and breakfast that's not in it till like 2/3 into the film. And I had completely forgotten that I'd watched it. I mean, it's also a forgetful film, but it's a bit of fun and it's something that I've been watching during.
That was his post 300 bod. So yes. It was just kind of just all right for me.
That's right. And he took he came out of a shower with just a towel wrapped around, and I went, that's not what he looked like in 300. It's a bit different.
I was deceived.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I've been watching High Fidelity, the TV series with Zoe Kravitz. And, you know, I've read the book. I've seen the movie. I think I watched the movie before I read the book. And both I really liked. And this one, it took me a couple of episodes to get into it. And I couldn't figure out why, because I was like, this is exactly the kind of show that I, Leah, would enjoy watching. And I would enjoy watching it because it's all the things that I like. I love a good list. I like talking about music, not necessarily because I enjoy music that much anymore. Having worked in radio for so long, I ain't got no time for music anymore. I'm just out of that habit. Yeah, I'm just out of that habit. But I like knowing stuff.
And you like having an obnoxious sidekick.
Yeah, that's right. It works out perfectly. But it did take me a few episodes to get into it, and it's really enjoyable. And I mean, she's been in heaps of stuff over the past maybe 10 years. And, you know, I've not seen everything she's been in, but I've seen enough stuff that I've seen her play very different characters. And I really like this character. I mean, the character's a classic anyway, but I really like this character. And if you get a chance, I would suggest watching it. If you're here in Australia, it's free on ABC iView. They've got all the episodes up there. I think it was on Hulu over in the US, okay. I think so.
It's just dropped on US iTunes as well.
Right. It's
what's
worth
the premise of that one, of High Fidelity?
So she is heavily into music. She owns her own record store, and she is constantly making up mixtapes, that kind of thing, you know, mixed playlists on Spotify. And she's always about how they have to tell a story specifically between you, the person that's creating the playlist, and the person you're giving it to. And this series is about her five heartbreaks. So the five people that she's been in relationships with who have broken her heart, and her sort of going through that. But it's not totally serious. It's actually quite funny, and there's a lot of two camera. Yeah, and not as Taylor Swiftery as you would expect. I think
there's a Bob Dylan in that crap.
No Bob Dylan. There's a bit of David Bowie.
Sure. Well, the only reason I ask you that is because there's a little bit of a split of when it was Cusack, late 90s, whenever that one was, the alternative music scene was the hip, cool thing at the time. And so it made sense to make a music of people, elitist musicians making elitist music lists.
Yeah.
Whereas these days, if you put Bob Dylan on a list, a lot of people are going to roll their eyes at you and stuff. So what are the music choices and things like that? Is there anything identifiable you can talk about?
I'd say, musically speaking, there is a lot of music through the episodes. I would say that it's very much retro, so there's a bit of like Motown-y kind of vibe. Like I said, David Bowie, whether it be the 70s or the 80s, there's a lot of that sort of early 80s feel in there as well. There's a few covers that I don't want to... No, I'll say there's a Boys to Men cover that's not bad by a guy who took me a bit. And I'm like, what is that accent? It's like this half American, half Scottish accent. It's weird. But there's a guy in there I assume is just doing his normal accent, because that would be really hard to perfect that, because that's not a thing.
Bold territory to cover Boys to Men.
Yeah, he does it quite well. I was surprised, because I started my eye rolling process and then realized, you know, it's not that bad.
Mid eye roll.
Yeah, mid eye roll. I had to go back. Yeah, it's very eclectic, but also there is that touch of pretension, Tom, in the music. But I think that's just what High Fidelity is.
Yeah. High Fidelity is massively up itself. And I like that, and that's part of the point of you know, why make lists about music? You serve no purpose. No, that's part of the takeaway of the book and everything is you do this stuff for personal satisfaction. You might think that you're educating others, but really you're entertaining yourself.
It's for you. Yeah. Anyway, worth a lot. I'm enjoying it.
I saw that one on iTunes this week and I thought, oh, Leah's going to be happy to hear about that. Likewise, Westworld season 3 has dropped on US iTunes this morning.
Do you guys watch Westworld?
No, it just is not my scene, the sort of that genre. It doesn't suit me very well.
Mm. It requires an awful lot of commitment.
I think the first season, if you just want a little bite-sized thing, watch the first season. The second season, Tom and I have spoken about this. It's a little difficult. It gets quite convoluted. I think I'm two episodes behind in the third season, but Third season is a lot stronger than the second season, but so different to season one. Like, it's just, it's worlds
there
apart.
There are so many shows. There are so many shows I would recommend before Westworld.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good if that's your type of thing. But if it's not your type of thing, it is a slog. And that's my type of thing. You know, like, it's not an easy watch.
Yeah.
And not even like pay attention. It's like, take notes.
Really? And is that what you do when you go through some that type of television show? Is that you actually take notes through it? Or, I mean, from what I've listened to the podcast, you have a mind that just retains everything like a sponge. Are you able to just manage it with yourself?
Mostly that. I might make a few bullet points if I need to, but yeah,
wow.
Listeners know this. So I used to, I ran the website for Lost for many years. I don't know if you ever watched Lost, but like,
yes,
I had to go learn quantum mechanics and that sort of stuff for that show. So I've learned how to dissect programs really well and retain stuff, and it's helpful. But yeah, even for me with that background, Westworld is a lot.
Mm.
I think the only other show I've had to make notes like that was when I watched first season of Cosmos.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Kind of fits. Yeah.
Wait, what? I've gone blank on Cosmos. What's that?
The Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
Take that one. That's good stuff, but it's not something I recommend to everybody because it's educational.
So, Tom, have you actually started season three of Westworld yet?
No.
Okay.
It's there. I started downloading. I'm like, let it sit in the pile for a while.
You've got to be in the mood. You've got to be in the mood.
Because I've been busy watching something that I'm really enjoying.
What's that?
Well, you know, I've been talking about this for weeks since they first announced it, but on Disney Plus this week, Prop Culture finally dropped. I've been so excited for this show for ages. It's the first time that they've allowed camera crews into the Disney archives mm-hmm. and the Disney prop houses and things like this. And your face is right. The stuff they bust out is amazing. Every episode. So it's hosted, I've forgotten the guy's name, but it's a guy who's a film historian. And he tracks down pieces of film history and puts them in the hands of the right people, whether they be filmmakers, actors, museums, collectors, whatever. And he is also a Disney historian. So he gets roped in on this project. And each episode is based on one film or one show from Disney past. And he chooses key props and key elements and tracks down either the original, who's making replicas and how they do it, where things are and stuff. So the first episode was Mary Poppins. And there's about 10 minutes spent on finding that snow globe.
Oh, really?
I love it.
Exactly. And it's the sort of thing that on paper you're like, okay, that could be pretty good. But this guy is so excited and infuses this with such positivity. And then most of the people, like he meets the lady, she's now old, who played the little girl in Mary Poppins. He has tracked down her straw hat and the yellow coat that she wears in the penguin outdoor thing. And she starts crying and she's like, oh, I haven't seen this in more than 60 years. And it was a really beautiful moment. So there was one of Mary Poppins and that's real old school stuff. But then there was the one that blew my mind was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And they show stuff that they've never publicly shown in this of how they pulled it off. And for years, I've wanted to know how they made Benny the Cab work. How did Bob Hoskins drive a cartoon car? And it turns out that they took a souped-up motorbike and put that engine in a really, really low, long go-kart and then built a car shell on top of that. So someone sat at the very back of this go-kart underneath everything driving while Bob Hoskins sat on top, strapped in just with a seatbelt and nothing around him. And it's got footage of them driving around the highway in L.A. at like 60K... 50 mile an hour, this sort of stuff. It was crazy good.
That sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to get on that.
Yeah, me too. Is it week to week or is it?
So they've dropped, I think there's 8 episodes and the positive reaction to it, they're going to do more. It kind of feels like a really nice sister project to The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one from Netflix and the films that made us and things like that? It's that kind of enthusiastic historian vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But just, damn, there's some cool stuff. I haven't watched it yet, but there's an episode on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, cool.
That'll be wicked.
You know,
yeah.
You know he's going to find that bee or that big old spoon.
The Lego that they slept in.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, so still got 5 episodes to watch of that, and that is really proving a guilty pleasure. So I'm glad that I hung a lot of hope on that one delivering, because it has.
It's paid Excellent. Off.
Grab some turpentine, acetone, and benzene. That's all you'll need to make dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Jason, have you got something else that you've watched and gone, yeah?
Yeah, I told Jeremy about this one. It's called Erased. It's probably not for everybody for several reasons. It's not really an upper, but I enjoyed watching it. It's a show about a guy's 29 years old, and he has this really intense deja vu, but it's not just deja vu. He like goes back like 5 minutes in time or something right before something really bad happens. So like the opening scene is a kid, a truck driver goes by him, and he has this event. And he notices that it happened. He looks over at the truck driver and he's asleep. And he drives his motorcycle over and reaches in and turns the wheel and misses hitting a kid with the truck.
Jeez.
And then later on, you find some stuff out, but his mom ends up getting killed in the first episode. And the whole premise of the show is he has this intense deja vu, and he gets sent back like to when he was 8 or 9 years old. And the reason his mom got killed was she was an investigative journalist, and she found out who murdered this kid when the main character was 8 years old. So he goes back in time to try to stop his classmate who got murdered from being murdered. Oh, wow. And retroactively saving his mom. And this is where I'm going to lose 95% of the people, is it's an anime. So
yeah, right. It almost sounds a bit like butterfly effecting, like that sort of, you change something little, then something else changes.
Body noise.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I mean, I liked it. It's a little dark, but it's a good storyline. It has a really satisfying ending.
The opposite Unlike, of my other yeah. suggestion. That's right. So that's Erased.
Erased, yeah.
How many episodes are there?
It's only 14.
Okay.
Okay.
That's nice.
And whereabouts will we find that one?
You could probably find it on Crunchyroll. And there's some other websites out there that you can watch a lot of anime for free, but they have ads in it. Mm-hmm. There's several of those. So you could probably find it on those also.
For Australian listeners, maybe check out Mad Men. That's our big anime. You know, there are equivalent of what you guys have got over there.
Cool. Okay. That one sounds awesome. Interesting. It's an interesting premise. Yeah.
I have to say, mum story.
Yeah, me too. I like that whole messing with time.
Like Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, it really pulls you in that first episode. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, you're like, all right. I guess I got another 13 of these to watch.
we got to save mum.
You got to save mum. What about you, Jeremy? What else have you got?
So it's very short. It's a Netflix one as well. It's The English Game, which I thought was absolutely spectacular. It's like 6 episodes long, I think, and it's sort of the creation of the English football game as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like the wealthy, the upper class, sort of dominated the game of the FA Cup for years upon years upon years, and then these sort of outskirts worker oriented people, they put together teams, but you know, because they work 6 days a week and you don't have time to practice or to get any type of rest prior to a game day, they were just non-competitive. Mm. So the premise of that one is the basically changing of the guard between, you know, the wealthy and being able to, the one team that actually proved successful, hires 2 players from, I think, Scotland. And that was before professionals were allowed. It's much like when folks were eliminated from, you know, professional sports because they weren't amateurs. You know, people couldn't be paid to play. But the development of those characters as well, and I'm sounding like an echo chamber here, but I'm a sucker for good character development in series, especially when you're like, that dude's a scum bucket in the first episode. And you're 3 episodes, he's not bad. Yeah, it's okay. And at the end of it, you're just like, man, he's a good guy. I feel like I would have a brew with that
guy. He's my favorite.
Yeah, so it's very short. It's probably like, I think it's just over an hour as far as episode run times go. So it's pretty digestible. And there's multiple storylines, not just the game of football, for those who are not super sports oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about personal development and people who make a living, and you know, people who start to see things from the you know, from the other shoe. So the rich guy comes down, he experiences what it's like to be not necessarily immersed in the lower class's life, but he gets a small, you know, looking glass view. And the same goes for the Scotsman who had, you know, not a great relationship with his father growing up, but later on there's closure with all those storylines. And that's great recommendation, I would say, is The English Game on Netflix.
So would you say there's another season, or did it all kind of?
No, it wrapped up pretty well with a bow and everything. So if you're looking for something kind of brief, kind of quick, but you want to watch something from start to completion, it's an easy one.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got one that was really bad that it was good, but it was also really bad at the same time, but I knew it was going to be bad. It's on Netflix. It's Too Hot to Handle, and it is one of the worst reality TV shows I've ever watched. It's like a whole heap of, they're 100%, they have to be Instagram influencers. They have to be all on an island, and they're all like, oh, we're going to get on with each other. That's a really bad accent, but they're from everywhere. They're from US, England, Australia. But then they're told within 12 hours of arriving there, as they're kind of setting up the flirting with, you know, who they like and that, they're like, you're not allowed to touch anybody, including yourself, for the whole time you're here. And they're like, what? Why? And they go, course, every time you touch, there's prize money, $100,000. Every time you touch or do something inappropriate, we're going to take money away. And
that's hilarious.
It became very clear very quickly who cared about the money and who didn't.
I had that one written down. My fiance made me watch that one with her too.
Are you with me? At some point in time, you're like, I don't understand the rules of this. How can they understand? And then I realized they don't care.
Yeah, what I don't understand is how don't you not touch somebody for like 2 or 3 weeks when there's $100,000 there? If somebody told me you can't kiss your fiance for a week, I'll give you $500. I'm like, okay, $500.
Good deal.
I'm still caught up. You said they're not allowed to touch themselves. Are you talking about what I mean? What I think you mean when you have they got cameras on them at nighttime?
Yes, and it's like a Big Brother house. There's night vision.
Even in the same room.
Yeah.
Even in the toilet.
Did we even see a toilet? I don't think we saw a toilet.
I don't think they show that.
Okay, because I don't want to be vulgar.
But they know.
Leah, guys can find a way. Really, we don't need a lot of motivation. We don't need a lot of privacy.
I understand that. Also, there was a fair bit of editing in this because, Jason, I don't know about you, but I didn't see any of them eat anything except for half a strawberry.
I don't think those people do eat.
There's no eating. There was drinking, and there was just people going, stuff it. Let's spend $3,000 on a kiss.
So most of those shows are all about trying to get the contestants to have sex on screen, and this one is about trying to get people not to have sex.
Look,
it's all about the anticipation.
Exactly. And it's also
a long foreplay, if you will.
Clearly executive produced by a woman.
It's 100% produced by the casting directors, who knew that these were the people that were not going to follow the rules, and they were going to get salacious screen footage of, you know.
What a vernacular.
Thank you. Please don't ask me to explain what any of those words mean. I just found them on the internet. But there was no way that these people were not going to break the rules. And there's this girl from, what's her name, Francesca from Canada, and she is the worst person.
Yeah. She's 40% surgery made. She's built by surgeons.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I don't know if it was her or somebody else said, you know, however much money we've got left, that's okay. That'll still buy you a boob job. Like, they know the prices.
Motivation is a powerful thing.
That's right. I've heard if you like Love Island, which I've not seen, you will love this show.
Here's my issue. I'm a big MTV The Challenge fan. Like,
The Challenge.
Hardcore fan. Ugh. Love it.
I used to love The Real World.
So did you recall CT? CT Tamborello, Johnny Bananas, any of those names?
Oh, Johnny Bananas. Yes.
They're still going. He's still on the show.
If I was to see their faces, I'd go, yeah. But, I mean, those shows have been going for years. It's kind of hard to remember.
They're on season, like, 36.
Holy cow, 35.
I reckon they should try and find some new settings for these shows, because they're always on an island, and it's always, hey, let's be skimpy in bikinis and stuff. This show could be just as challenging if it was fucking cold and they all had to be in tents because you'd want to be touching other people to warm up. Mm,
true.
Can't.
Like you,
I'll tell you, you what, Tom. Go ahead.
I was going to say like some sort of Scandinavian country where they really love saunas. So you can have a bit of both.
I saw Midsummer. I don't want that.
Okay.
So Tom, the most recent season of the challenge is actually so the past couple of seasons they've had these like ridiculously nice houses in Central South America or like Morocco, those kinds of places. They haven't said where they're at specifically, but it looks like some sort of Eastern European, and they're in a bunker, and it's great.
Nice.
Because they're like, where's the pool? Where's the sun?
I want to see people have a rough go at these things. That'd be way more entertaining. We've seen plenty of Big Brothers of people having fun and being thrown giant inflatable baseballs, the things to keep themselves entertained. No, let's drive people nuts.
That's remember what the season is, and I love it.
Remember back in the 90s, radio, who can stay in a car the longest? Like they'd have a competition of who can stay in this car the longest or keep their hands on there the longest. Yeah. Bring back those sort of terrible things where we watch people have a bad time.
Do you remember that one? I don't know what country it was. It was a radio competition. And it was who could win a Nintendo Wii by not going to the toilet,
a bunch of water.
Yeah, and one woman held on so long she got super sick and eventually died.
Yeah,
yeah, like she got water poisoning.
Shouldn't laugh.
Yeah, she drank so much water and didn't go to the bathroom. Like she had too much water in her body.
Damn.
I hope they at least got a photo for their socials of her on her deathbed going, "Today FM is my station
with the Wii mode."
I will say the Netflix reality shows started off good. I mean, I like The Circle.
The Circle.
That was good, right?
Then they had Married at First Sight, and then I hated it because it was totally not real.
All these reality shows are real, Jason.
Well,
The Circle felt better to me, at least. It felt like
you said Rachel did research and found people who are already fake on it.
No, she found the people in real life.
Mm.
Were they Instagram influencers? Yeah.
Not on The Circle.
We have to apologize for Married at First Sight. That's Australia's fault.
Yeah, apparently you guys are getting the latest season coming soon to TLC.
You're getting our one beamed over because you're so keen for more of that Married at First Sight action.
It's a lot. It's a lot to
Nothing
take.
Nothing says sanctity like, hi, sanctity of marriage. Settled with a handshake.
We've come full circle. Back to religion again.
That's beautiful. Tom, I don't think we've asked for another watching suggestion from you before we get into the Would You Rather.
All right. Well, strap in because I'm using a double-barreled shotgun to give you two movie suggestions at once.
Cheating.
Both of them are relatively new release movies. And one of them I'm going to say, yes, spend your money. And the other one I'm going to say, think about it.
Okay.
My first one is The Gentleman, which, you know, I'd been amped to see for a while and finally dropped. And it feels like old Guy Ritchie. It's very self-indulgent, and I kind of like that about him. If you enjoyed Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, if you enjoyed Snatch, you will enjoy this film.
Cool.
If you didn't enjoy them, you probably won't.
Okay.
It feels like a really good palate cleanse for Guy Ritchie because he went and did like a King Arthur. Was it King Arthur? Yeah, with Charlie Hunnam, who's also in this. And before that, he did Aladdin, and he's done some weird big blockbuster stuff. So it was really nice to see him returning to his roots with lots of twisted characters. Colin Farrell is doing the best Irish, thick Irish accent I've heard from him in years.
Easy for him.
Yeah. He's having a lot of fun. Hugh Grant steals the movie.
Really?
I'm not going to say too much, but it feels like this is his response finally to everything that happened with Foxy Brown in the 90s. Do you remember he got caught by the paparazzi with a transvestite lady named Foxy Brown?
The lady of the night. It was like Pretty Woman, but...
Streetwalker.
It was a whole Pretty thing, man. And Hugh Grant suffered for it. And his character in this really feels like he's finally... ready to address that and work some of those life points into a character.
Amazing.
So, really good fun. It was only 2 hours and quite frivolous. I can't remember plenty of what happened in there because it was all boom, bap, loud.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like UK rap, there is some tight, real tight grime in this. There is a team, a group of UFC fighters called the Toddlers, who are also a wannabe rap group who are involved in one of the plot lines in this, and they maybe do crimes and shoot music videos while they're doing it.
Amazing.
So yeah, there's an awesome music video for no reason, like a hardcore grind in the middle of this movie about robbing someone and stealing boxes of bush. Box of bush. Come for yours, come for mine.
You do that too well.
It was really good. I enjoyed that. The other movie I watched, which is still enjoyable, and it's going to be your mileage may vary, mm-hmm. was Bad Boys for Life.
This is the third one, right?
Bad Boy one. Yes, the third one. I still quite enjoyed it, but it's one of those ones where when that first movie came out, first Bad Boys, I was too young to aspire to be either of those guys. You know, I didn't relate to them on an age level. It was, wouldn't it be cool when I grew up to be those guys? Mm-hmm. And then when the second one came out, I was a bit more of an age to be slightly more aspirational to them. And now I'm really disappointed to find that I'm the age where I relate to Martin Lawrence's character and I want everyone to slow down and be more sensible and not be the hothead Will Smith. And that's been a big theme of the movies, obviously, the other two movies, but this one even more so, of the Oscar Felix dynamic between the two of them. I won't say it gets inverted, but they're both old now, mm. and the film is about coming to terms with the fact that you maybe can't run down a Cuban drug lord on foot anymore, I'm sorry to say.
Sounds maybe like Danny should. Glover would have something to say about this Lethal Weapon style.
Yeah, basically a lot of the movie was two guys saying I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not too old for that shit now. So it was a weird thing of, whereas I used to aspire to that, I think now the people that were the right age for Bad Boys when it first came out are going to be in that mid-40s upwards group where they can relate to that more. Mm. Whereas, you know, I haven't talked to him about it yet, but my brother was going to watch it the same night. He loves action. He's amped for it and stuff. So I bet he's going to come and go, that was shit. This old man grumbling. Joey Pants. Everyone loves Joey Pantaleone. Mm. He's back as the very angry chief.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know what you call him, but other than that, I don't really remember anyone popping up through that was big in the other ones. Bad Boys.
It's for life.
Hopefully it means Will Smith goes and does something interesting now, because he did Gemini Man and then did this. And it tends to be his thing of he'll do one or two shoddy movies and then make something great and then disappear for a year and then come back and repeat that cycle. So he's due for a good
30% success rate.
About.
Yeah.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I'm still fucking disappointed with everyone involved that they wasted the title for Bad Boys 4 on Bad Boys 3. Because they called it Bad Boys 4 Life.
Yeah.
I half expected Life to be spelt with a Y and no E, like they're trying to appeal to coders and hackers. Oh, we're so hip. Come on, guys, see our movie. How is that now? Bad Boys 4, Bad Boys 4 Life.
Like Trolls, it's not Trolls 2, it's Trolls World Tour. Which was great, go see it.
But I agree, it was great, but they could have called it Two Roles. That would have been True Roles. That would have been the easiest title ever. I get disappointed when people don't, you know, bust out your thesaurus and find a good colon or semicolon and then your title. But it has to be at least on the level of Secrets of the Ooze or Electric Boogaloo. you know, like,
that's where you
the pickle is still the Search for Curly's Gold,
sure,
which is City Slickers 2, because everyone would have been just okay with City Slickers 2, because no one's going, I wonder what did happen with Curly's Gold. I hope they base a whole film around finding Curly's Gold. Anyway, sorry, I made a note about that. It's very often that I make a joke note. I normally just write the title of films, but under Bad Boys for Life, I wrote another line that said, get angry about title.
Spot on. Check that
off. Yeah, tick that off the list of things to do. All right, Tom, would you rather?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we've got about six of them. We'll see how we go. Seeing this whole week is pretty much Star Wars related, I thought, would you rather be Han Solo or Luke Skywalker? Tom?
It has to be Han because no one wants to be a Mary Sue.
We don't know yet, Jason. Who would you rather be?
I think I'd go with Han Solo also.
Jeremy?
Unanimous.
Yeah, me too.
I shot first.
Yeah.
shall we look at some facts? Doesn't just get the girl, gets a girl. Does not become a space monk.
Yes.
Does not lose a hand to his father.
Was not living on a desert.
Has a cool jacket and gets to have the universe's greatest nap. I'm fucking jealous, I tell you what. Yeah. I would, if I could be frozen in something, have a good nap for a month or two.
The past month or two.
Okay. Well, that was easy. All right. You can only listen to one song for the rest of your life, and these are the two options. Stacey's Mum, Why Did I Pick That One? You will have to listen to the latest episode of Figment of My Reality. Or Teenage Dirtbag.
Ooh.
Yep.
I like both of those songs.
I tried to pick ones that were really similar. All right, Jeremy.
Teenage Dirtbag.
Jason.
Stacey's Mom, because I never mess up the words.
Okay, that's fair.
Karaoke for life, huh?
Tom, what are you going with?
I have to go with Stacey's Mom as well, because really? It has the superior music video and has a great cover by Bowling for Soup.
Really?
Yep.
Fonz and Wayne is way better though. As far as covers go, it's a successful cover. You don't beat the original.
Yeah, but I've forgotten his name. It's not Brian Bollard. Something like the singer from Wheatus. He's written a ton of stuff that you wouldn't realize he's been involved with, and he's executive. Like he's got his own production lab over in New York.
Are you saying he's got too much coming up? He's got too much. He can't have it.
I'm saying, as a band, he's got his fingers in so much stuff, but so does Fountains of Wayne. Ah, because they wrote theme songs for TV shows. I'm torn.
Well, I'm going to go for...
Then I choose Natalie Imbruglia.
Okay, great. Which was a cover as well. I'm going to go for Teenage Dirtbag because I like that he manages to sound like a girl and he goes, I got two tickets to... It's phenomenal. When I first heard that I couldn't figure out if that was him or not. And the video would be no indication because it's got... No, but who's... What's the actress? I can't remember her name. Miller? No.
Mina. Savari.
It's Mina Savari?
Mina Savari.
From American Beauty. And Pie. She's in all of them.
She had the mini rose petals.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Arnold Schwarzenegger or Danny DeVito? Now, you have to pick between the two of those, and he has to play your dad in an action comedy movie where you and your father have to track down the missing husband of Carol Baskins, and there's a plot twist at the end where the husband is actually Jeff Lowe. It's convoluted, but basically, which one do you want to play? Who would you like to play your dad?
You said Arnold Schwarzenegger or Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd have a better time. The ride would be better.
What do you reckon, Jeremy?
I feel like I got to go Danny DeVito too.
Tom?
I'm going to cheat.
What?
Because it sounds like a story with a lot of twists, turns, and reveals.
Yes.
One of the reveals is that Arnie, my father, is actually being operated like Krang from Ninja Turtles by Danny DeVito from within.
Oh.
So I'm combining twins and Junior. It's like he's Junior as a baby in there operating. And it can just CGI. Maybe it's even like Total Recall and you can CGI a little gimpy Danny DeVito's onto the side of Arnie.
Isn't
but it
that
has to be the Danny DeVito. It has to be the Danny DeVito who's shaved and oiled up from the quarantine episode. I just want to be clean.
If Danny DeVito was your dad, you wouldn't have to worry about him being disappointed in you. If Arnold Schwarzenegger was my dad, he'd definitely be disappointed.
Yeah, he would be. See, Tom, when you started that synopsis, I thought you were going to say the plot twist was it was actually the sequel of Twins.
So that's where I'm going. There needs to be a sequel that was co-joined. Okay. Now, I just want the third one. They've had Twins, they've had Junior. The third one needs to be co-joined. And I just want to see a movie of Danny DeVito like wearing a weird harness strapped to
his torso.
It'd be fucking great. Carry him around like a baby.
Okay.
I've weird thoughts. You, I'm not supposed to be locked down this long.
No, it's too long for you. You wake up with the ability and talent of being able to tap dance like Fred Astaire or to sing like Pavarotti. Jeremy, which one would you pick? Tap dancing or opera singing?
Opera singing.
So you can sing in the shower and really get the acoustics right?
I would just annoy the piss out of everyone because I don't live on an upper level apartment. The only way I can do it is from below.
Okay.
Nice.
Jason.
I would pick opera singing also. I can do that anywhere. I can't wear tap shoes around everywhere.
Yeah, you don't want to wear your tap shoes out.
You could.
Yeah. I mean, I could sing and then go to the grocery store. I can't tap dance and then just walk through the grocery store going tick, 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 tick.
And be that guy. What about you, Tom?
It's got to be tap dance because then I've got a mobile drum kit.
Mm.
I don't sit still. I'm very ADHD. And so the idea of having something that can annoy other people from the bottom of my feet is amazing.
I kind of like the idea of tap dancing as well, because I think if I was to be walking down an aisle, maybe it's like the soup aisle or something at the supermarket, and then suddenly I start tap dancing and then it's a musical.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't tell me this game was superpowers.
You've just become Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I guess I would. Yeah. But then I can't sing, so I'd have to get Jeremy and Jason in to sing, and Tom and I would have to tap dance. I think it's completely.
We've got an idea here. This works.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on to something. All right. Fast and the Furious or Marvel movies?
Marvel. That one's easy.
Yeah, that's easy.
Well, first four, Fast and Furious, but after that, Marvel.
You're just going to let it go after that.
That's a bold statement on the Furiousness. Number two is the weakest, but number four.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
The title.
You just got done talking about the title. What more could you want?
I was pretty happy with that because they used the number two in there twice.
Mm. What?
It has less than negative percent of Vin Diesel, and it has way too much Tyrese, and that's not a good mix in my opinion. Number four is when they started coming good, and like I think number seven is the best of the Fast and the Furious.
I can't deal with all the sexual tension between The Rock and Vin Diesel.
Too much to handle.
Comes in. Oh god.
See, the thing is it takes away from the Fast and Furious when it stops being about drag racing.
Oh, but come on, they couldn't be stealing DVDs all their life. They had to move up.
Yeah,
to
they could.
Who else is going to stop that nuclear submarine? I get what you're saying.
Clearly, Hobbs and Shaw.
They're superheroes now. It's not. Yeah. It's not what they were.
It actually transitions into the Marvel universe.
It really does. Now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, the final. Would you rather? Would you rather take the red pill or the blue pill?
Tell me how far that rabbit hole goes.
Who's pondering? Oh. Yeah. All right. So you're 100% going. You're going. You aren't you, Jeremy? You're just going.
Oh yeah.
What about you, Jason? Do you want to know? Do you want to know the truth?
He doesn't.
No, I don't. I don't want to know.
He's concerned.
No, I'm staying.
You like the taste of steak too much, right?
Yeah. I mean, what am I really going to do about it?
You could be the chosen one.
If I do know, what am I going to do? I'm just a guy.
That's a good answer. Tom?
I've generally found that more knowledge leads to being excluded from more things. So let's stay simple and stay part of the group.
All right, Jeremy, you and I are going to have to fix this. Those two are just going to be eating steak and watching The Red Lady.
That's fine. Tom, your volume of knowledge now excludes you. Half the stuff you've referenced in this episode, I don't know.
This is what I mean. I don't deserve to know more.
You might as well double down.
Scary.
There's a song in there, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, we'll get Fountains of Wayne on in the
Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect. Well, look, I want to thank you guys for coming onto the podcast. This has been so much fun.
It's been a blast.
I'm 100% going to rope you in to doing it again sometime, whether you like it or not.
That'd be great.
And where can we find you guys on social and podcasting world? You guys are all over the podcasting platforms, right?
Yeah, you can find us on pretty much any podcatcher, iTunes, Spotify, in our social media. You can just search Fig of My Reality on any social media and you'll find us. Our email is figmentofmyreality@gmail.com. You can find us pretty much anywhere.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jason.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been fun.
And on that note, thank you, Tom.
For the Emperor!